Llewellyn writes stories for adults. How is everyone? How are you? Hi. Hi. I am hoping there was a fade out. That's okay that there's not. People are here to plow some snow, and they've just hit the curb twice, which is, you know, yeah. I'm hoping it's not too loud and that you guys cannot hear it, and that it's not a problem. If it is, I guess we'll do this at another time. What a pain in the tuchus. I know. I'm a little distracted by the truck with the snowplow coming in out of the driveway. I hope the guy does the stairs. The dogs don't like to go potty in the snow, do they? How are you all today? I'm really excited. I'm excited about this interview. Author Thora Woods is in. Hi, Dante is in one of my Facebook groups. I just want to let you guys know that I have a couple Facebook groups. I have all kinds. Hey, Tom, I have all kinds of Facebook groups. If you're on Facebook and you're a writer, though, I have one called The Write Friends. Cute, huh? This kind of a writer support group. The requirement is you must be writing and you must be active. I probably need to go through and clean the ranks. We have about 45 people in that group. Can you hear in the background the snowplow plowing the snow? I hope it's not like that was me grating and everything. Penguin! Crimson Penguin is here. Ooh, ah, Penguin. Everyone say hi to the Penguin. She's a dear friend from Twitter and from life. Everybody is becoming friends. I love meeting friends online. Anyway, so what was I saying? Writer, yes, writer group, The Write Friends. There just so happens to be quite a bit of authors who write a little bit on the alternative dark romance, which means Megaverse. What is a Megaverse? A Megaverse highlights an alpha and omega dynamic, but you can throw in betas and every other Greek letter from the alphabet that you want. It's pretty flexible that way. There is a canon, which I mean there's a whole history. People have drawn up and done the physical, like, descriptions of the medical descriptions of what happens in a Megaverse, because it also includes something called MPreg, male pregnancy, and they have built a whole science around how to make that possible. I need to check my messages. Okay, so, yeah. Herbalist One entered the studio. So today we're talking about, Thora's going to come on. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a Megaverse. Megaverse is kind of on the naughty end of the romance spectrum. You can do modern Megaverse. I believe Thora's going to talk about a contemporary story that she has written. She has a new book coming out. I think she has. She's continuing to grow. I think it might be something called Sweetverse. This is how much I did my research this morning. I meant to get on. You can get her book, Lilacs and Leather, off of Kindle Unlimited. And I had been meaning to look at it for like ever, because I love Omegaverse. I love the genre. And I always like to check it out. I want to see what everybody else is writing. I want to see what you're doing. She's writing contemporary. It's different from me. Everybody has a different take on it. I was really curious. I think hers involves a rock band. Should I read the introduction to her book? I have it pulled up. Oh, good Lord. ISO, yes. Why don't you do that? I had read it. But I'll read it out loud for you. She's safe as long as she's hidden. Lydia Anderson is an unbonded Omega who left her life behind to escape a family more interested in their status than protecting their daughter from an Alpha who won't take no for an answer. It took everything, but Lydia managed to break free, running as far as she could. Now she lives with her head down, avoiding attention. Her past is still on the hunt, and she can't be caught again. Pack St. Clair is everything Lydia has been taught to want. They're rich, influential, and beautiful. A chance encounter sets her on a collision course with the three alphas and their beta, and instincts long ignored flare to life, setting fire to of all of their carefully laid defenses. But Lydia knows that if something sounds too good to be true, it usually is. Pack St. Clair has a secret, one that could destroy everything they've worked to create. And that skeleton in their closet has set its sights on Lydia. I don't know. What did I say I thought it was? I don't know where I got that. That was a different book. My mind. Don't ever step into my brain, people. When the past comes to call, can the pack keep their Omega safe? Lilacs and Leather is a first book in the Pack St. Clair series. Which will feature... Okay, hold on. You ready? MM, MMF, and FF. Look, I said that. I can't believe it. And poly relationships. I can't believe I said it without like lisping. This story touches on subjects that may be triggering to some readers, including descriptions of past abuse. See content warning for more details. While there will be bumps in the road, the series will end in happily ever after. There is this first book, Lilacs and Lace, and I believe, I'm pretty sure, another book is coming out. Lavender and, where is it? Why isn't it? Lavender and Lightning. Oh, I like that. It's on pre-order for now. And so, yeah, it's coming out soon. Is it like this month? What does it say? What does it say? Amazon, explain it to me. It is coming out April 23rd. Oh, good Lord. But it's on the docks. And so I'm like, April's so far away. April. I have. I have April. I have a problem with delayed gratification. Anybody else in the room hate? Oh, there's Sora. Hi. Anybody else in the room hate delayed gratification for anything? Anything. We're not even talking the kinky stuff, which is torture. We're just talking general delayed gratification. I can't take it. So, okay, I need to ask and I need a response for those in the room. Let's just ask the burning question right now. Can you hear the racket happening right outside the wall? Is it too much? Tom Crimson Dante, is it too much? Is it too much? Can you hear it? Can you hear me? Am I loud enough? Do I need to turn up my volume? Pump up the volume. Now I can hear me better in my own ears. I've got all my volumes up. I could turn up my Forsyth. Have I frozen? Are you there? One new message in delay. I can't hear anything, but I can hear you. Fantastic. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Thora, I am inviting you as a speaker. And I just, oh, there you are. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's morning for you too. Okay, great. Yes. Did you get snow or have you had
I've got tons of snow.
Tons of snow. Yeah, I got snow this morning and so they're here. And hopefully Dante was good enough to say it's not a problem. So hopefully it won't be a problem.
Yeah. I'm hoping. It's been, my dogs do not like the snow plows, so I hope you guys can't hear them barking.
Oh, so you have a snowplow too?
Oh yeah, I
right outside right now, right when we're going to record, a snowplow dog's barking the whole bit. Yeah, why is that? Why does that happen?
It's because we need to do something. So the universe said, ah.
God forbid. Mm-mm. You should need to do something. I'm going to send that guy. What is it? Who has a list of things? Murphy. Murphy's coming to your house right now.
Oh, yeah. Just
checking it out, making sure that you don't try to do anything. Don't accomplish anything.
Oh, no.
Thank you so much for coming on today. So I had meant to be on the ball. I was like, oh, I'm going to interview her Friday. I'm going to be so on the ball. I'm going to be prepared. I'm not. it is a story of my life. I think I was prepared one time, my first child. Okay. My first child, you know, when you pack the diaper bag, you put everything in the refrigerator, the first one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got like 20 diapers just in case of a blowout and all the wipes and then the extra wipes and then two extra outfits because, you know, and the food and food for you, food for him, a game, you know, whatever you have it, a blanket, something to cover if you're nursing, three bottles, you have everything in that bag. It weighs 500 pounds. By the end of four kids, you're lucky if you'd leave the house with a diaper.
Oh yeah.
Like that is me. I have been trained by children to be unprepared for everything in life.
Yeah, no, it just keeps life interesting. That's the way I say it. I just want to keep my life interesting. I keep my husband on his toes when I like look at him and say, "Did you bring your wallet on the way to the grocery store?"
Yeah. Did you bring it?
Because I didn't. I hope you did.
And when I travel, oh my gosh.
Oh, I am the worst.
I will leave my head behind. I do not know.
I know.
If I
have gone on one vacation and brought a hairbrush, I would be genuinely surprised. I consistently, no idea how or why, because every time I'm like, I'm going to do it this time, I will bring my hairbrush, and then it's left behind. I have 1,000 hairbrushes purchased
I have to buy a new one here. I tell you, it is the truth. I am the most, I don't know how to accomplish anything.
I look at a hairbrush on my bathroom counter like, I bought this in Philadelphia because
Too bad they don't say the city names on them.
I know, I've got to find those.
If you've got to buy souvenirs, I mean,
why not?
Might as well be a hairbrush. That's great. So thank you so much for coming on. If you're new to the show, I'm just going to say I talk to everybody about everything. I love to talk about stories. So Thor is an author. So I'm going to talk to her. And and I do talk about the kinky stuff. I've been doing some really kinky interviews. I've got some more coming up, let me tell you. And so I talk about that too, because it's just fun. It's just ridiculous. I get all embarrassed and uncomfortable and I giggle like an idiot. And it's just... I don't know. I really should stop, but I can't help myself. But today we're talking about the business and not really. Let's not talk about business. Let's talk about Zon.
I know.
The Amazon. No, that's not.
I get the anxiety hives just thinking about like all of the things that Jeff Bezos could do to us poor indie authors.
Oh my gosh. Yes, exactly. So for the audience listening, let me just throw out really quick. When we talk about Zon, we mean Amazon. And you're like, why? What's so big? Well, Amazon carries 80% of the ebook digital market. Mm-hmm. So if you pull your books off of there and try to go to an indie store or Barnes & Noble or any place else, you're going to sell 95 cents worth of books in 3 months. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult. And they, their terms of service are confusing. It's, their expectations change constantly, a little bit like Facebook lately. And we all know how Facebook is cracking down on the censorship, that you can be banned for something you posted on Facebook like 5 years ago. And so Amazon's a lot like that. They go through, we're cleaning up the keywords. Like what?
I don't know if you saw this earlier, but like last night I was just scrolling through my feed and Vera Valentine posted that there is this entire like publishing house that is ripping off authors' books and then reposting them with something like slapdash cover, and it looks like an AI title, and they're still up.
And they're still up, but yeah, Amazon's, we're cracking down on that.
Yeah, it's like, what do we do? What do we do?
Yeah.
So to the audience, if you see something that looks suspicious, they listen to customers. They don't listen to us.
Exactly.
So if you see something, say something. Yep.
They do not listen to author complaints. They do not author, when they take books down from authors, that the author's not getting paid for that book, and they're not getting the back royalties for 2 months for that book. And they do not listen to the authors. They might, if you're lucky, you might get a hold of a person and they might pander to you. But however, if you call customer service, if you call Kindle and you say, where the heck are my books? What's going on? They will listen to you. And so that's why I bring it up. Readers have so much power. You mm-hmm. do not know how much power you have. You have so much power as readers of books. So much more than Amazon. Even though we're producing the content, I don't know if it's because there's like a billion books and they just don't care or what, but so readers have the power, which is why I bring up the Zon really quick, because there has been a whole thing over the holidays with authors losing their content to Amazon and just all different kinds of stuff. And so it is one of the hardest things about being an author, I think, don't you? I mean, you got the book, you work so hard. Mm-hmm. You finish the dang thing, you clean it up, you get it out there, you're like, okay, I'm a published author.
And then it could all disappear in a snap. So, I mean, if you think that you're just one voice and you're shouting into the void, it's not. You really can and do change lives every day with us indie authors.
Like, let me tell you, this is one voice can pull a book on Amazon. Mm-hmm. If you read a book and it has some errors in it and you complain to Amazon, they will pull the book. They will pull it right then. If it's not up to, they'll pull it. They will pull it without looking at that sucker. So the best way, when you see that, you talk to the author, find that person's email and as much mm-hmm. as you can, and send an email before you complain about that, because that's how much power readers have, is you can get books pulled. If you think you see a book somewhere else and it's being sold and you tell Amazon, they'll pull it. No questions asked. That's part of the whole Omegaverse, you know, the whole Omegaverse controversy is one author said that filed a DIA takedown saying, you know, that it was copyright infringement because they thought, and that's what that is. If you see a book somewhere else and you tell them, they're going to assume, oh, copyright infringement. So they'll pull it with no questions asked. And then that author it damages, you know, their livelihood. It damages their reputation. It's horrible. I mean, I like that Amazon, I like that, but it is so, and then there's so much that's arbitrary. Anyways, I don't want to get into that.
We got the heavy stuff out of the way.
Yes, that's out of the way. So I want to clarify, because I said some things in the beginning, I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Now I thought, and I might've been getting you mixed up with like other authors, because if I don't take notes, which I didn't, because we've talked about how I'm not prepared, then faces and names tend to blend together. So I apologize for that, because it's so unprofessional.
There are certain members of my family I couldn't pick out of a police lineup, so don't feel bad.
I just want to remind everyone that I'm not a professional. I don't do anything to professional quality. I'm terrible. So is your book, is it a sweet verse book?
I would consider it more sweet verse in the sense that there isn't any, like, in the harem, dub-con, non-con.
Okay.
Like, there are some darker elements to the book, but it's definitely bad guys doing bad things, mm-hmm. and it's clear that they are the antagonists, where I don't think that any of my main characters are morally gray or anything like that. So I would consider my books sweeter verse.
Sweeter verse. Okay, that's good. Will you? Yeah. So you just kind of described where they fit in the Omegaverse spectrum, and it's also a pack. So
Yes.
are they shifters or are they non-shifters or how
They're
does that work?
non-shifters. So I spent a lot of time thinking about like, okay, so if omegas, like alphas, betas, omegas, if that all it just existed from like the beginning of time, how would society reflect those things? So a lot of my there are a lot of parts of my book where like the legal system is sort of catered around the Omegaverse and like the different designations. So a pack in my world is almost like a legal entity. It's like you can have businesses under pack names or like that's kind of how they operate.
Okay, that works.
It,
That
I
makes
definitely
sense
had a
to me.
conversation of like, okay, so if the Omegaverse exists and religion also exists, is Jesus an alpha, beta, or an omega?
That's a great meme right there. I like that. That's a really great meme. How fun is that?
Yeah, just like it's the weird things you have to think about. It's like, wait a minute. It's like I saw this meme about like in the Cars universe, like the kids movie Cars, there's a car who is the car Pope, which implies Cars Catholicism, which implies Cars Jesus. Like once you start unraveling it, it's just a rabbit hole.
Cars, Jesus. Oh no, I'm just picturing this car in robes with the
Oh no,
beard,
I just like I'm like, oh, and now we're absurdist.
I'm sorry, I'm being racist, Quincy, but I can't help it. It's the funnier if it's the Anglo blue-eyed.
If it's white Jesus, it's even funnier.
It's even Forget a realistic Jesus. Yeah, I mean, just for humor purposes. Cars, Jesus must be like a Chevy or a, oh, we gotta
Oh
stop.
yeah. Oh yeah.
A Megaverse Jesus. Oh, that's
It
great.
just like you just have to think about these kind of things and like it just had like because I write contemporary, so I'm like, let's do less work and set this in modern day. I give a lot of credit to like to authors who create their entire world, and I'm like, nah.
I don't see that's what you're like. Let's just make it easy and do it in modern day. And I'm like, oh, then you have to make things fit and you have to make things make sense to a modern day reader and they have to follow certain laws. And I can't do it. I'd rather make everything up for scratch than have to follow any certain
See, I mean, like,
laws.
I created a fictional city to set my like my world, my stories in, but like they also like reference other like real life cities. Like my female main character is from New Orleans, Louisiana, and like my one of my pack members is from Rochester, New York. Like it's just easier because then I have like frames of reference for like, okay, well, this is the kind of thing that they would have like this is how they would speak and they're like I don't know. It's an interesting like dichotomy of how like is it easier to create an entire world from scratch in certain circumstances? Absolutely. Try fitting dragons onto like a subway in New York City.
Yeah, it's not gonna
I
work.
mean, it wouldn't be out of place because it's New York City, but like it requires a certain stretch where, you know, setting that dragon in like a completely fantasy setting would make a lot of sense.
Yes, yeah, I mean, it is fun. I do like to bend genres very much so, but that is the main. I'm just it for me. It was lazier to create a world than try and make one fit make
Oh,
sense in a modern world. So you've got a modern world, and you kind of broke it down and to make it make sense, and you created packs. And what else did you put in? What do you have? Do you have Easter eggs in your book? Do you ever do that? Stick in little.
Well, like I said, one of my pack members is from Rochester, and I'm from Western New York myself. I was born in New Orleans. I have friend family in New Orleans, so I'm very familiar with that area. But I grew up, my entire, like, all of my memories are from Western New York. So having a character from Western New York referencing, like, chicken wings and garbage plates and all the things that I know to be quintessential Western New York make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And, like, and I have weird Easter eggs. Like, my husband works in health insurance, specifically pharmacy. He knows he's the devil. We don't need to tell him, but...
Hey, that's hot. You're married to the devil. That's always cool.
I know, right? Like, he's the bad guy.
Right now? He's a bad guy. He's a morally gray character. That's so cool.
But he spent his entire working life working around pharmacy. So when I'm, like, creating a modern world, it's like, okay, well, Omegas and, like, they're still people, so they still need, like, healthcare and medicine. And it's like, okay, well, how would the pharmaceutical industry capitalize on Omega heats? Ah, they would sell heat suppressants.
Yes.
And, like, it was kind of fun coming up with all of these, like, all right, pharmaceutical ways that people would make their lives easier, like heat suppressants and bond suppressants. And, like, it's kind of crazy just to, like, go down that rabbit hole of, like, oh, how would capitalism ruin this?
The thing about the whole thing about Omegaverse is I was saying it does have canon. So it has these worlds mm-hmm. that you're trying to hit for the readers, and then you're trying to hit the rules and then bend them.
Yes. That is very true. You're trying to
make them fit. Okay, this is the physiological rule, and now mm-hmm. how are they going to exist with each other within this rule? Which kind of makes it, which is part of the fun part, you know, because everything has consequences, and they're exactly. so exaggerated in the people that you can't, you know, there's no, everybody has them. And it's part of the fun part why I like the genre. Mm-hmm. What was the first Omegaverse book that you ever read? How were you introduced to the genre?
I was actually thinking about this the other day because someone asked me, and I'm like, all right, what was the first Omegaverse book that I read? And I think the first truly published book was actually one of yours. I can't remember which one specifically, but I was like, oh, this is, like, you know, it was like you, Liv Lane, yeah. Like, I don't know. It's weird to consider you guys, like, the old guard, but, like, but it has nothing to do with, like, anything. It's just, like, you've been established in the genre.
We're the old, like, guard for, like, whole 2 years. No, really, I mean, Nora Ashe and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all those people who've, like, kind of made the genre what it is. And then,
yes.
And then there's all of us, like, whippersnappers trying to, like.
You're young, whippersnappers.
Yeah, I know.
I'm in here at Megaverse. No, I'm thrilled. I think it's so cool that it's a growing genre. It's mm-hmm. it's a growing market that people are like, ooh, you have knots?
Yeah.
What's a knot? What are you saying? What's yeah. that for? And yeah. I know there are some people, I was on a TikTok and there was somebody who's mm-hmm. like, I hate it. Have you ever seen two dogs? And I'm like, no, it's not like that. Take that out of your head.
I had the this same conversation with my husband because he's like, you're writing what now? And he's like, oh, so, like, I even mentioned it in, like, the acknowledgments at the end of my book where he's like, it's that, like, old Will Smith quote. It's like, he's a bit confused, but he's got the spirit. He doesn't know what I'm doing, but he supports me. And he's just like, wait, so you're writing about alphas, betas, and omegas. You mean that, like, debunked science wolf thing? And I'm like, no, but yes, but no. It's a different thing. And, like, the more I've talked to him about it, the less he's, like, got hung up on, like, the alpha, beta, omega thing. And he's like, oh, you're just writing stories. And I'm like, yes, and these are tropes.
Yes, it's just a trope. The wolf thing, okay, it may be completely inaccurate, right?
The pack, yeah.
Wolf, whatever. But, hey, gorillas, it's not.
Right. Like,
I looked it up. I'm like, yep, there's an alpha. Yep, he was this. Mm-hmm. Yep, the females do. Of course, he compete with the females, but he wants the biggest female, the best female. Right. And yeah, there's a hierarchy there. And yada, yada, yada. It may not be the wolves, but it's gorillas.
But I mean, even like the newest research into wolves, like you see that they have like a family structure where it's like it's not so much like this is an alpha and this is a beta and this, it's like, well, no, there's the primary, like the patriarch, the matriarch, yes, and then their kids. And it's like, it's still a structure. Everything is structure.
And people have them too, which is where the argument, you mean the debunk science? And I'm like, if you've never walked into a room or a family and not been aware of who's in charge and who runs things, then, and then who is black sheep and who is the one who gets picked on or gets asked to do things the most, then you're not paying attention to life. Right. And I'm okay with that, but I'm not going to have this debate, the debunk science. It's the exaggeration of these roles that we play in life, and and we get to make them kinky and messy, and that's even more fun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and your book gets pretty kinky because you have sword crossing, and you have FF, female on female, girl on girl in your book, which is really I do too. It's not like I don't play around. My first book has the harem scene, has a literal harem scene, and then in the end scene, I almost took that scene out. I have a scene where the main character, the beloved main character, he is just on edge. He's about ready to explode. He's trying to save himself from the woman that he loves safe from his brutality. And he thinks she's not ready for him yet. And so he's just out in the field. He's trying to kill everyone around him. And he's got a hard on, like,
okay, yeah. Actually, and so the guy, now that you're talking about it, that's the book I read. Like, aha! Yeah, no, now I remember this.
I remember that scene! Somebody was like, rewrite that scene only from his point of view, because, and then I'm like, I don't, maybe? But wow.
I mean, what would it be other than like, the tornado siren of horniness, like,
yeah, for him it was I mean, it could have been a really intensely male autoerotic scene, you know, but for him it was meant to be raw and brutal and just the harshness of where he was coming from, and but I almost took it out because people are, oh, I want smut, oh, you're gonna mix the sexes now. Oh, you're going to have this? No.
Well, I mean, I came at writing this as, like, I saw people like Catherine Moon writing, and and like, I was like, let's make this gayer, shall we? And that's kind of my motto, is like, I look at something, go, could be gayer. And as like someone who I've been out as a bisexual for several years now, and like, I don't see a lot of books that cater to like both sides of bisexuality, where it's like men who love men and women, and then women who like women and men. So I was like, it's not out there. I'm going to write it. So
you're right. It's not out there. And it's funny because you would think in this day and age that there would be more of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know what I know that women watch, even if you're not bisexual, there are studies that say women watch women in porn just because it's a more appealing, I don't know. There are just studies that, but women are, we are the weirdest consumer when it comes to anything sexual on the planet, pretty much. Men are pretty straightforward. They're like, oh, we see it, we like it. Women are like, well, I'm stimulated by this, but that doesn't mean they're going to buy it.
Right. Like, it's, and I found that it's like, it's been fun to explore. Like, Lydia, the main character, had a very religious, like upbringing, so she was shamed a lot for anything that deviated outside of, okay, you're going to like male alphas and that's it. Anything other than that is not acceptable. So having her meet this pack who is an openly queer, just mess. I think I've described them more than once as this is a queer fuck puddle. The answer to who's fucking who is yes. So, like, having these people who are not only successful, but very much in love with each other, supporting each other, and also openly queer is kind of like falling into the twilight zone for her and kind of experiencing these, like, these moments of, like, on Rhett and Lydia's first date, they talk about how, like, he's, like, polyamorous and bisexual, and I mean, I'm the person who bought their own book on Kindle, so I can see what other people highlight. Oh. And there's this line that people have highlighted so often where it's like, people aren't jigsaw puzzles, and expecting to find your missing piece in one other person is just setting people up for heartbreak, which is like this, whoa, like galaxy brain mind-blowing thing for Lydia. And then meeting someone like Alexander St. Clair, the prime alpha, who is a female alpha of this very successful pack, and then having baby's first gay panic is like, it's been so much fun to play with these different like elements of relationships that I just haven't seen anywhere in the Omegaverse.
Yeah, it's starting to grow, but you're right. It is still rare. I know there's one writer. I know of one writer who writes female girl on girl, female with female, and mm-hmm. it's actually fantasy and space related, I think. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember her name now, and I'm gonna hate myself for it. Mm-hmm. But I want to say Alexandra, but that's not right. She's fairly popular, but mm-hmm. there's not, and it's starting to, you know, science fiction and fantasy, though, I was telling somebody once that dominant women in stories tend mm-hmm. to irritate me, that I just come along with I have too many preconceived notions that are hard to mm-hmm. shake. So if you put a dominant woman in a contemporary story, I'm going to be in competition with her probably in my head some way. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to like her. But if you put dominant women as sirens in a fantasy story taking mm-hmm. over, that's hot. That's mm-hmm. interesting. I'm curious to see where that goes. And right. so that works for me. But that even Omegaverse is enough of a – I'm going to have to check your book out. I'm curious. I meant to ahead of time anyways. I need to be better about writing reviews for my fellow authors. It's not like
trust me. I'm very much – I'm deep in my editing cave right now. So
I've
sworn off Omegaverse. Stuff. Like I read it in fits and spurts because I can't subconsciously copy anything I haven't read.
It's a big fear. It is a massive. And sometimes who did I talk to? It was somebody else. It was Eve Dresden has this mm-hmm. incredible description for an alpha's growl. Mm-hmm. And it stuck in my head for weeks. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I never should have read that book
because
it's just three words, but it's her description and it's distinct. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, no, I can't do it. Gotta make sure it doesn't creep in. Yeah, make sure it doesn't creep in, because when I read it, I stopped mm-hmm. and I read it. Yeah, and she's used it a couple times, so it's pretty mm-hmm. Almost iconic. You know, when some words mm-hmm. you use a couple times, they become. But I totally know what you mean. I've been trying to read other genres, other mm-hmm. you know, other things, and I'm not very. I haven't been reading. I just don't have enough time to read enough between everything I've got going on, which I miss. I walk into a bookstore and I'm like, oh.
I know. Like I'm part of this like winter reading challenge for Baby Reverse Harem, and they're like, all the other participants are like, I can't wait to read everyone's books, and I'm like, y'all have time to read?
How do you do that?
I know, and it's like. And I heard you like right before I got on talking about how my book's not coming out until April. And it's like, because I'm going to be spending the next 3 months working with my editor on it.
Oh, I know. Well, that's good. 3 months. Yeah. That's about, yeah. I was, trying to figure out the turnaround for books. I don't know how these people do it.
I know. I look at people and I'm like, Sam Hall, like I worship on the ground that Sam Hall walks on, because like, how does she do it? I don't know. Whatever cocaine she has, I need some in like the worst
her
way.
And Liv and God. It's amazing stuff to be able to get that turnaround, because I can't do it. My books take too much editing, just line by line, like, line edits, and then you've got the everything.
Like, what is your process? Like, how, like, from like the start of a draft to like publishing, how do you go? Because I'm like, I'm genuinely curious.
I am not I'm not a plotter. I am a pantser, completely a pantser. But I write, and I write linear. I don't bounce around. I know a lot of authors do. So I have the characters in my head, and I have an idea of the tiny idea usually of the setting where I want to be. And then the characters, to develop the characters, it shapes the world, shapes the characters, and the characters shape the world. Because I've always written romance, I don't usually have a big protagonist, but I've been or an antagonist, but I've been trying to write more fantasy. So I have trying to bring in more antagonists, which messes with my process a little bit. I have to take notes. I tend to write the first draft from start to finish. If it has holes or I don't usually have plot holes. I've read enough books that, and I always hit that sweet spot so far. I've been really lucky to hit that sweet spot in the middle of the book where everything is just like, oh, yes. It's just this moment of magic where everything makes sense, and somehow the whole, there's a big time. I mean, I've had moments, let's see, in my Orkai books, in my first book, there's a climactic part where she needs to save herself, and there's a torch, and because they were carrying in this fire to fight the little beasties there, because the beasties didn't like fire. So she's the Orkai are carrying in torches, and she gets separated from her Orkai, from her protector, basically, and she looks on the ground, and there's a torch there, and she picks it up, and she it saves her life. In the next book, the heroine's like, oh. She sees it happening. She's like, so she grabs, and she's holding a torch, and she throws it.
Yeah.
and it brings it. And it was a moment where like, oh, I can do that there. And it seems like a lot of my characters have little pieces missing all the time where I can weave it in and make it complete. I don't know. I call it an intuitive typewriting. So I write the first draft through, beginning to end. It might have spaces that need to be, or names, or little tiny details, but not, almost never. I've not had any plot hole issues or characters that I've had to kill off. romance is a little different than fantasy and drama, where they get naggy about, why did you introduce this character and you don't have any there? Yeah, it's not as bad. So that's done. When that's done, I usually, usually chapter by chapter, I send it to beta readers. My beta readers are my readers. They're my Facebook group. I started on Wattpad. They were my beta readers. They go through it one time. Well, it might be 10 people. They go through it. Then I make those edits. They're usually just because of the way I write like a 2-year-old. I miss words. I am my typos and homophones and all of that stuff. I'm terrible with that. The older I get, the worse my typing is. And so they help me find some of that stuff. Then I send it to my publisher. My publisher sends it to the professional editor. The professional editor sends it back. We go through it again. I give it back to my publisher. It depends what's in the budget. She either goes through it again, and then we send it to the editor again. Then the editor sends it back. Then I look through it again. But the problem is with me looking through it is every time I get my hands on that sucker, I'm going to mess it up somehow. But I still want to see it. And then we send it to a proofreader. And still, just to tell other authors out there, yes, there are. You may have spent $1,000 on your manuscript at this point, but there are still going to be mistakes.
I saw one somewhere, and it's like, you know, the easiest way to find a typo? Publish a book. And then open up to any page.
Exactly. It is like, so true.
I'd like to give a shout out to the one typo that made it through 3 editors, 2 betas, and a proofreader. Like, it's so true. So true.
It just doesn't matter what you do. There's still going to be typos or sentences that don't make mine. It's usually some sentence that doesn't make sense that nobody checked with me on. That just my last book had some doozies and still does. We haven't gone back and fixed them yet. And it just drives me mad. It has been the cause of my mental block, actually. People are like, mm-hmm. You have writer's block? No, I have a book that I'm not happy with and it is out in the universe. And I don't have the time to fix it. But because I can't fix it, I can't work on the next book. Oh my God. And it's just been this horrendous thing that I've been struggling with. So, yeah. Why are we talking about me? So what's your process?
So it's been actually really different between book one and book two for me. So like book one, I hammered out the entire first draft, like almost 110,000 words in 3 weeks. And I actually was posting the first draft on AO3. I recently took it down because I don't want Amazon to like give me the ban hammer. But I posted the entire first draft on AO3, got a really good response. And then I was like, oh yeah, let's make a go of this, shall we? I found a couple of beta readers because at that point I knew no one. So I actually found a paid beta service, and used them to do the initial beta reads, went through, did a huge revision. And then I found an editor that I really liked. We did a good back and forth on it, did another round of revisions. And then I went to a proofreader and then published. So, and that took, I think I looked back on it. I think I started around May-ish with the first draft and published in November. Book two has been pulling teeth.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like, I was like, every time I had like a break where it's like, all right, I have 3 weeks where the betas have their hands on the book. I can't really do anything to it because who knows what they're going to say. And like, all right, so let's start work on book two while they're reading book one. And my brain's like, nah, we can't do that. Because you never know, like, because at that point, I don't let myself get married to any point of the plot until we're basically at proofreading, because at that point, anything could change. I rewrote the ending to Lilacs and Leather, I think 4 times, like completely scrapped multiple chapters and rewrote it from scratch 3 or 4 times.
You'd think it'd take me less time because I don't rewrite, but no.
like even with this book that I'm working on right now, like I know I'm scrapping the last 10 chapters and I'm rewriting them again because I thought of a better ending. Yeah. And I take a chainsaw to my books over and over. So like even my betas are like, I can't wait to see this published. And I'm like, okay. What? And they're like, I love this part. Okay. Don't change it. Well, joke's on you.
Too bad. Sorry.
I told you not to get attached.
I'm going to give you the best book I could possibly give you, but not with that part.
Yeah. No, like, and there are certain parts where it's like, the first book, I had no plan. I went into it, I had an idea and went into it with like, all right, well, what if like there's X character and Y character and this is the scenario they're in. And it's like, all right, well, what would happen after this? And then next, so it's like the first book was complete pants where I wrote and then went back and fixed things as I made realizations in my head of like, oh, this would make a cool plot point. I should introduce this not 3/4 of the way through the book. But with the second one, I wanted to make sure that I was hitting, like, the first book reads very much like it's very character driven where like the first part of the book is Lydia and Rhett, the one of the harem members getting to know each other and, you know, Lydia getting over her emotional baggage and stuff like that. I mean, she's not fully healed because trauma is complicated, but, you know, it's definitely her learning to trust and all that stuff. And then it starts to move into more like outside forces influencing the plot, where the second book reads very differently. It's much darker and not much darker. It's heavier, I would say. I've been referring to it as my Empire Strikes Back, where it's, things do not look good for our heroes by the end, but you know, everything comes out at the good, you know, it's definitely a different book and I'm really excited for people to see it, but it's been a process. It's like, I had to have NaNoWriMo to get this first draft out of me because it did not want to make it into the world.
That helps. You know, sometimes just having something push and push will help, but oh my goodness. Yeah. That's a process. We all have our different processes though. So
yeah. And like, you know, with this one, I found an editor who is willing to work with me from developmental edits all the way through proofreading. So
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, like that's why we're taking 3 months where it's, you know, the first couple weeks are going to be developmental and then it's lining copy and then proofreading. And by the time we're done, it's ready to go to publishing. So
that's really fantastic.
Yeah,
that's,
I think I got really lucky.
Yeah, I want one of the, I'm looking for a dream editor. I'm not going to go off on that. I want you to read. I would love for you to read. Have you picked out a chapter for us?
I could read a whole chapter. I could read a section. I've got a couple options because I can't make a decision to save my life. let's see. I mean, it depends. How much time do we have? I can read a whole chapter if you want.
We have about 10, 15 minutes. So go ahead and pick something out.
Okay. I'll read this section just so that way there's time for us to wrap up and stuff. So
yeah.
So this is from chapter 8 in Lilacs and Leather. At this point, Rhett and Lydia have met and he came in to her job. She works as a florist. So he needed to find her again after a chance meeting in a hotel lobby. And he needed an excuse to come back, so he ordered some flowers. And so this is a scene where he's coming back to pick up his order. Here we go. This chapter is from Lydia's point of view. I back out of the swinging door between the workspace and the shop, careful not to hit the flowers on my way through. I turn and my next breath catches in my throat. Rhett is dressed casually today. Dark designer jeans and a light blue polo shirt hug his athletic frame, showing off the muscles of his thighs and biceps. He's holding a cardboard drink carrier in one hand, 2 cups of coffee in it. His eyes are bright with a smile as he sees me turn, and I can almost detect a trace of chocolate under the whiskey and leather of his scent. I clear my throat and set the arrangement on the counter. Is this okay? I can change anything if you don't like it. My voice trails off as I flush pink under his gaze. Lydia, this is beautiful. I don't want to change a thing. Rhett gushes, and my stomach does a triple axel. He looks up from the flowers and seems to lose his train of thought. I rub at the back of my neck and look away, feeling suddenly very warm. I believe I promised coffee, he says, holding a cup out to me. I take it with muttered thanks, stepping back from the counter and taking a tentative sip. My knees go a little weak, the warm caffeine and sugar rushing through me. How did he get this exactly right? Well, while Lydia wraps that up, I have a bone to pick with you, Mr. Cooper, Willa says. I jump at the sound of her voice. Did I forget she was right next to me? Rhett's smile turns bashful. I have a feeling I know what this is about, he admits. Then you should have come sooner. The BOA has been calling about getting those awnings repaired for months, boy. Willa snaps, and I swear I see Rhett flinch. The BOA, or Business Owners Association, includes the owners of all the shops on the Old Town portion of State Street. It was founded when the restoration project began to keep the St. Clair Foundation from strong-arming any one business. It keeps the businesses honest with each other, too, setting up rules for sidewalk maintenance and other trivial things like that. Willa sometimes calls them the Busybody Oversteppers Association, but she can admit they have their uses. Even if they try to tell her when exactly she needs to put up and take down holiday decorations in her front windows. "We sincerely apologize for not getting to it sooner. Did the inspectors not come by?" Rhett asks. I take a long drink of the coffee before setting the cup down and moving the arrangement over to the finishing station to wrap it in cellophane. I find I'm working slowly because I can't take my eyes off him for very long. He's looking at Willa directly in the face, eyebrows pulled down slightly, giving her his undivided attention, and I don't know why that makes my heart skip a beat. Of course, those lazy kids came out. They took pictures, asked about the damage, and told us we'd hear back from the foundation soon. That was 6 weeks ago, and we haven't heard squat, Willa goes on. Rhett nods seriously and pulls out a cell phone. I checked the maintenance schedule and didn't see a report, but it's clear we need to do something about the state of them. What happened exactly? Rhett questions, looking between her and his phone. Willa launches into the story about the hailstorm we had a few months back, but I can't take my eyes off Rhett. Even though he's typing on his phone and scrolling through various apps, he nods along with the story, asking follow-up questions and listening fully to her responses. His hair is less styled today, pieces falling down onto his forehead. As his fingers brush them back, I can't help but picture how they would feel in my hair, pulling a little as he grips it in a fist and, "If you don't fuck him, babe, I will," Gabby whispers in my ear. I jump and squeak at her words. Rhett's eyes snap to me and his mouth pulls down into a frown. I turn and smack Gabby on the arm, and his face relaxes, focus returning to Willa's explanation of the runaround she and the BOA have been going through to get the awnings fixed. "I can't fuck him, Gabby. He's got a pack," I hiss through gritted teeth. "That hasn't stopped him from undressing you with his eyes since the moment he walked in," Gabby mutters, cutting a length of ribbon for me. "Gabby, I don't know. He's so hot, charming, into you," Gabby tries to finish for me. "Not my type," I sigh, still keeping my voice down as I help hold the cellophane in place while Gabby ties the ribbon. "I swore off alphas for a reason, you know." Gabby sets down her scissors and looks at me with all the seriousness of the grave. "I know, but you can't tell me you're not into him. You are pushing more perfume than a Macy's." I blush bright red and, tucking my head, I glance over my shoulder and find Rhett looking at me. He gives me a little smile that turns my lower belly to molten lava. I look back to Gabby and her deadpan stare cuts through me. "Fine, I can admit he's attractive, but it doesn't mean that it'll work," I admit with a huff. "You won't know unless you try," Gabby says under her breath. I start breaking off and chewing my bottom lip. "Shoot your shot, babe, you deserve it," Gabby hisses, giving me a stern look. "I will personally oversee the survey on Monday. I cannot express how sorry I am for the delay. Lex, Miss St. Clair, will be informed and we'll look into this oversight," Rhett presses from behind us. I look back and Willa is nodding with stern approval. "I'm glad that you're going to be handling this personally, Mr. Cooper, and you won't be trying to distract my staff while you're here, will you?" I choke on my inhale, turning away to hide my burning face in my hands. I still catch Rhett's smirk as his eyes flick in my directions. Gabby's shoulders are shaking with barely contained laughter. If a sinkhole opened under the shop right now and swallowed me whole, I would count it as a blessing. "I can try to keep my distracting to a minimum, Mrs. Fitzgerald," Rhett says slowly, and I can hear the laughter in his voice too. "You better, boy," Willa grumbles, turning to me. "Lydia, help Mr. Cooper take his flowers out to his car."
I like her. "You better, boy."
Yeah, Willa is secretly probably one of my favorite characters. She's will not take shit from anyone. I don't get into the relationship much in this first book, but the second book I get to really explore like the surrogate mother-daughter relationship that Will and Lydia have, and it's a lot of fun.
That's kind of cool. That's great. You know, she needs that, and then I like that you developed that. I read somewhere that, I don't know, we need more girlfriend books or good relationship mm-hmm. between women books.
Women
tend to be really independent, really, you know.
Yeah, like Gabby and Lydia's relationship is like, it was kind of core to this book because it's like she needs someone outside of the pack to like keep her grounded in a lot of ways mm-hmm. and remind her that like, yeah, because like from my own experience, you get lost in relationships and you just get swept up and everything else can feel secondary. But having a friend to like, hey, no, keep your feet on the ground and don't lose yourself in this relationship is super important. And giving her like because like Lydia's family, like blood relationships are complicated and not great to say the least. So having like these people who have basically adopted her as like, no, you're mine now. You're one of mine. You're my people. Like really.
Yeah. You're my person. Yeah. And that's really cool. That adds so much depth to the world you're creating and to the characters and I like that. Yeah. Very much. That's very good. Thank you for reading that.
No problem.
We have been, I wanted to ask you a couple other things. So sure. What is your favorite aspect of Omegaverse?
I like the, as much as like my inner feminist is like, I'm a strong, independent woman who don't need no man. having that, like, that aspect of like caretaker, like there's people who are protective of you and like, I don't, just the dynamics between alphas and omegas are super, like super interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, having that like instant connection of like, oh, I can tell right away you're someone I'm interested in just by the way you smell. And like, yeah, I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the smell. I hype on the, I probably talk, my pro writing program, which I use for editing too, is like, you use the word smell and scent and aroma 45% more than any other.
Oh yeah, no. And honestly, when I was creating these characters, that was one of the first things that I thought of when I was like, all right, well, I know I'm writing Omegaverse. How do these characters smell? And because that's super important. And like,
it is. And they all have to smell different. And I never stink and write it down. It's like hair color.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, you know, and eye color and all that. You should write that down on the
character sheet.
I have
an entire, like, I have a document that's kind of, I call it my, like, Pac St. Clair extras. It's because, like, while I'm brutal and I delete a bunch of stuff, I never really truly delete it. I just cut it out somewhere and then put it in the extras document. So maybe I'll come back later and, like, flesh out that scene as, like, an extra or, like, cannibalize it in other ways, but it also has like all of my characters' backstories.
Yeah.
Height, weight, eye color. I know early in the process I was procrastinating, aka doing research, and I have full astrological birth charts for all of these characters.
Oh, I so do not. Oh, that's funny.
So I was both like, oh, I know what type of personalities they are. This is their birth date, time and place. I know everything, like their sun, their rising, their moon, like every, like full astrological birth charts. I know what type of cars they drive. like,
you sound like Quincy's going to voice a character for me. And we were talking about the kind of car he drives and he gets down to the, just the nitty gritty of this car. And I'm like, it was a black muscle car that somebody left over in like a building. And it was, you know, his kind of a really well taken care of car, but it was, you know, and he's like, oh, Quincy's like, oh, and it's this and it's that. And I'm like, okay.
Like, I know my female main character drives like a 2007 Hyundai Sonata that she got in high school because, and it's been with her and it has 200,000 miles on it and it's fine. Thank you very much.
I need to add more car details. Apparently these are very important facts. Everybody.
Because I mean, it is kind of important because it's like, all right, well, like I know Rhett drives a like, current model year Hyundai Genesis. Like it's a very specific type of luxury car, but it's also not the highest end luxury car because like it's
like, no, it's important. It does. I mean,
because
it
he's
does
not the kind of guy who would like so he much. Wants he wants nice things, but he doesn't want to stand out. Where like Alexander St. Clair, she drives a Maserati. She wants you to know when she's pulling up, like that kind of thing.
And yeah, the car. I'm so such a slacker, man. I need to get off.
Oh, this is the kind of thing that I consider to be my procrastination, where, like, I'm not putting words on the page. I'm looking up and building cars on the various websites.
You're putting it together. You're designing.
Yeah, no, like I had like a, like I know what type of trim package it has because I spent an hour. But in my head, it's like, this is not, this isn't truly, like, it's productive in, like, the loosest air quotes way.
No, it is air, it is productive, because darn that, that TikTok, the thirst traps don't do me any good. They don't, you know, nothing. And the dancing and the music, it doesn't, it's not productive at all. So, I mean.
But, like, I definitely found, like, I found the thirst traps of men wearing, like, the corset vests. And I got trapped, and now Rhett wears one in the second book because I couldn't
Yeah. Dark Garden is like, I looked at their corsets too for women. I'm like, $800. They're like, this is a lifetime. And I'm like, $800.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, let's not talk. People, buy more books.
Yeah.
I'll take a picture wearing it. Anything. I'll wear that sucker everywhere.
I know.
I'll wear it. Should we do an Omegaverse book convention, or should we just go to Dragon Con or whatever? I will wear that. People, buy more books.
I know. Like, I don't even care if it's my book. Buy anyone's book. Like, I will sit here and, like, you want a list? I've got a list of people who you can buy books from, and they will. Like, I will sit here and hype up my friends and
buy books. We want to go to, yeah, we want a conference. That is, oh, yeah. Would you, if we did an Omegaverse conference, would you be there? Probably depending where and stuff.
I mean, virtually, absolutely. Like, just name a time and place. I will make it work.
Like, I think we should do a virtual one, a test virtual one, and then see what people, can we get people? Would they come?
Yeah, and, like, I'd love to have, like, oh my god, the whole thing where we sit and have, like, roundtable discussions about, like, all right, what let's talk about dynamics and gender roles, shall we? Or like getting somebody, like, with actual, like kink community experience to come out and talk about, like, what is it actually like to live in the BDSM lifestyle?
I know people
like stuff like that, and, like, you know, just, like, I can think of a thousand different things. Like, let's, you know.
Oh, start a notebook. That would be, yeah, I know people. Oh, I would love, there are so many things I'd like to talk about, you know, just the reality versus fantasy of. Both are good.
Right.
But let's when we talk about them, let's talk about, okay, this is the reality, and this is how we do this in real. This is how fantasy, and this is how far you can stretch your fantasy. That would be,
I've had
very,
a lot of people
cool.
talk about the kink in my book specifically, because, like, I am sick of seeing books where, like, you know, safety is a secondary thought, and it's like, but if people are truly in this lifestyle, that's not how that works.
Well, yeah, and you're writing contemporary,
right?
And
so,
I got so called on safety for my books, though, and I'm like, listen, I explained this. That character is 7 foot tall.
Right.
His cock is massive.
Right.
She can take it. She's made for that in this fantasy world. Not only that, but she has a hyper, in the Orca books, she had now has his nanobots. So her body is going to be able to take this trauma, so that when he gives her a spanking and she's pregnant, she's going to be fine. It's early in the spanking.
And, like, I was going through a beta read with one of my friends. I'm not going to name names. And they wanted to use, like, a belt. A leather belt as, like, restraints. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, no. No. Not unless he wants her to die. I mean, you know.
Well, even just, like, restraining the hands, like, nerve damage, people, nerve damage.
Yeah, oh, good Lord. And it happens with the professionals, too. So that is, you know, there are things, like, to take into account. You've got your fantasy, and you've got your, there are lines. And
I think the thing that surprised me the most with, like, publishing a book that is very kinky, and, like, there, Rhett has Lucas, who is his bratty sub, and Lydia is not a bratty sub. Like, showing the differences in their dynamics, but also like the amount of people who are like, oh my God, I can't believe how important consent is in this book. And it's like, in my head, it's like, but this is like the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Like they discuss boundaries and like safe words and like the idea that, you know, just because I'm the dominant and you're the submissive doesn't mean you can't say no to me. Like that whole thing is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it would be very, and it's exaggerated that all right. that when you put it in Omegaverse, it switches it on its head and it changes. It's almost like right. you can't have some of those rules. You have to have some of those rules if you're writing right. contemporary. And that's not a bad thing. It's a great thing to explore. That's mm-hmm. why I love books and words and the power of every and the way you things are expressed and mm-hmm. and creating arguments in your stories within like, the
and I kind of get into that where it's like one of the things that I see all the time in Omegaverse is that like once you know an Omega bonds with an Alpha, it's usually happily ever after. Well, what if it's not? What if the you know that Omega is not right for them? Or like maybe they're like, you see alphas all the time, like using their, like, it's very dubious consent with the Omegas. Well, what if that was the other way around? What if the Omega was the one pulling a trick and the alphas weren't exactly consenting to everything that was going on? And like, I deal with that in my books. Cause that's shitty.
Oh no, I got a book. Yeah, I haven't written it yet. But I have a book where that is very much a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how much. That's why I don't. If I plot it out, I feel like I don't have mm-hmm. little nuancey, interesting things just pop up. And the characters, if I plot it out too much, the characters can't take over. So, but yeah, there's so much potential. When you have and they're not even gender roles. I keep wanting to say that just mm-hmm. because it's a buzzword. But when you have the character traits, the roles so mm-hmm. clearly defined, it's like you can put them together in different puzzles and you can right. rearrange things and create, because you know, yeah, the pieces are easy to see. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean, you know, and in life we get them so blurred because, you know, we can't smell it. We can't see it. It's not so right. obvious.
And like, I would love to, like, in my head, I think sometimes where it's like, you know, Lydia's obviously an Omega. Like, she's very much that, like, you know, kind of skittish, has a naturally submissive tendency. But then I think about Rhett. And yeah, he's an Alpha. But I think if someone else was writing that character, he'd be a Beta. Because he yeah. loves his partners so much and cares so deeply about their safety and wants to take care of them. But he's not, if in a situation where it's like, it's his rule and then like Alexander's in the room, he's going to defer to Alexander because she's his prime alpha, which is a very Beta thing. But then there's another Omega in my book, Seth, who is their ex. And Seth hates that he's an Omega. That's like his whole thing, where he wants to be an Alpha in the worst possible way, but he's been saddled as an Omega. But he like has bulked himself up to be this super muscular guy and walks around like he's king shit, but he's still an Omega.
Yeah.
And it's
That's
like,
cool.
It's been one of like the more interesting parts of this where it's like, you know, There are these tropes that we have to adhere to be Omegaverse.
But at the same time, it's part of the canon. It's one reason right. why it was they wanted to play with society's rules. They were mm-hmm. I've had very, you know, old time, talk about old guard. They mm-hmm. They do not like the male-female interactions. They're like, it's just all about the porn. And I'm like, no, it's not. okay, some of it is, but it's not all about I mean, that's what makes it fun.
Let's make our porn serve a purpose. Like,
exactly. That people read it because they think it's anything. It's either some of it is, I mean, I totally write for escapism, but I put stuff in there. I'm going to explore themes. I'm going to do things. I'm going to explore who I am as a person. I'm going to do things. Yeah. I love words. Words are so powerful. I need to let you go, though.
I mean, I would sit here and chat for another hour. So, like, if you're calling it, I'm calling it.
No, I know. We could just talk about, you know, it just, and it never, I don't need to agree with everybody. I love getting different perspectives on things.
Oh, yeah, same.
Absolutely. I don't read enough contemporary anymore. I used to. I read fantasy contemporary. I read motorcycle, you know, MC books. I like them. I've never seen a motorcycle gang look half as hot as the ones in books.
I know.
And they're hardly ever young because, you know, motorcycles, good motorcycles are expensive. Mm-hmm. And and they're not all other vehicles. So you have to be able to afford a motorcycle and a car. Yeah, it doesn't. So I always thought those were kind of fantasy books. And then the billionaire books. Those are a different kind of fantasy books, and the mafia books. Mm-hmm. But I just need to read more.
Well, if you read my book, I'll come on again, and then you can yell at me.
We can, I will. Oh, gosh. Do you have a cliffhanger?
Yeah. I will say.
That's fantastic.
It's not as bad as some. Like,
it's not as bad as some.
Yeah, I've definitely read worse cliffhangers than
the one I wrote. Did you hear my whining about delayed gratification? Did you hear me there?
If you read everything but the last chapter, you'll be fine.
Okay, there you go. Everything but the last chapter. Don't read. No.
And then I can read you the last chapter when I come on. But yeah, no, I would like, this is
just a hook to buy the next book. There you go.
Oh, it is.
Thank you so much. I had a great time. I would love to have you on again. I say that to everybody, and I need to set stuff up. In fact, I was thinking, I think I'm going to do some shows on specifically the dominant and submissive as characters in books and in real life, and then contrast the two. I think those would be fun discussions, and I would get to talk to a lot of people. I think I'm going to advertise for that after in a couple of weeks. I'm talking to a lot of people in the community. I met this great couple they're a little bit, they're swingers. I do not know, and they talk about the lifestyle. So I do not know if he identifies as a D type and she is an S type or what, but they're fun people. I went on their show and asked some questions, and they're going to come on mine so I can talk to them. Ooh, I'm going to talk to a guy who owns a toy shop, and he identifies as a D, and his toy shop, I have seen, it has the toy. he's all a great guy. Yeah, Rob is a great guy, and I've got some conversations up, and then Mistress Alyssa, who is just, she is a, I don't say it right, D-O-M-M-E, how do you say it,
Dante? I've always said it Dom, just like a Dom.
I know people that say it Dom-A, so I don't know, but she is that just seems, I don't know, but she is a female Dom. She is amazing. She's writing a book. She has a show. She calls herself the Kink Therapist, and she is just the easiest woman I have ever, she's just, she's like the opposite of, she's just amazing. I just love her. I love going on her show. I learn so much about men and about people, and just from her perspective, which is really clear. No BS. I could just hype her up all day. I'm going to do some of those discussions and have some more writers. And yeah, I love the idea of talking about, and maybe get, there's a transgender submissive. There are a couple submissive guys too on TikTok. I wonder if they'd come on the show. Submissive men are so fun to talk to way. As if they were male omegas, because they kind of are, and at least from our perspective.
Right.
And there's such a different kind of guy to talk to. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know. It's just. Yeah, I love talking to people. I'm sorry. I'm going on and on and on about what I'm doing. Like, so you're going to have to come back and listen.
I honestly, yeah. Just time and place. Just let me know, and I'll just be here.
I know. Yeah, let you know. I get to meet so many great people, you included. Thank you so much for coming
You're
on the show.
You're very welcome. This has been so much fun. We'll have to do this again.
Yes, I'm glad. You go and have a good day and be you super too. Productive. People are like writing today, apparently, in the chat. Remember I said the right friends? So people will post their words. I think Hannah Hayes is in our group. 4,000 words in a day. Oh man, I'm slacking.
My hands hurt just thinking about that.
If I write 5,000 one day, my hands are going to hurt the next day. It is a guarantee. I cannot do it anymore.
I have to crawl back to my editing cave.
Yeah. Crawl back in there and get some done.
Yeah, I have a deadline of the 14th and I'm screaming my way to the deadline.
You're almost there. You could do it some more days. Okay. I'm going to put my music on. You have a great day.
You too.
Bye. Oh, here comes the music. Oh, that was loud. Thank you guys so much. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Thora. I really did. There, you know, when you add different varieties of people to Omegaverse, it just gets more interesting. I think so. Thank you, Pengi. It was so good to see you. Big massive hug. Massive hug, Dante. T-U-L-I-A-N, Tulane. Thank you for staying. Thank you, everyone, for hung out for the whole time. You guys are fantastic. Have a great day.